You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Friday's Racing Podcast with me, Jack, and joining me is Paddy Aspel. Thank you very much for your company this afternoon. How are you?
Good form, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Not so bad. It's going to be a busy weekend, isn't it, of action, and the Sprint Cup is almost upon us. There's been a change in the betting in the last 24 hours or so. The front of Thursday's Racing Post talks about quiet reflection, and that Carl Burke has assuaged any suggestion that, despite his stable's poor form, he really fancies his charge to do well here. 9-2 is the price at the moment. Obviously, quiet reflection in the Sprint Cup. A great horse, and should give Lamarto, the favourite, a run for its money.
Yeah, and I think more so the thing about quiet reflection is they've campaigned her very well, but also her just ability to handle her racing. She's got a very, very good attitude. She's very relaxed. I mean, I remember the day when she did win at Royal Ascot. You know, she was stood at the start, resting a hind leg, which, you know, it's amazing. I'd say she's an absolute pleasure to train. She's very tough, but there's no getting away from the fact that she was no match for Lamarto the last day. I mean, Lamarto can be, I won't say an in and out character, but some days he can do that. You know, like when he won at Redcar, literally barely came out of a canter the day Graham Lee won that big 2-year-old race. And I mean, you know, but the last day was one of his at York, ran well in the last day. When they came back in trip, you know, it was a hell of a good run, but just a very, very talented horse. But I think Henry Candy has also done a great job in campaigning Lamarto. But on the Newmarket form, it will be difficult for me to see him quite reflection turn it round. And like you say, coming into a big race like this, you would like to be firing on all cylinders, as maybe Carl Burke isn't.
You would like to be firing on all cylinders, but occasionally it does take a big race like this, doesn't it, just to get a trainer back on track?
Yeah, I mean, look, Carl Burke, he doesn't talk his horses up that much. We've always known it, the high regard he holds his filly in, and he said she's ready to go, and look, he's the man who's looking at her every day of the week, so he'll know better than anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lamarto is 2-1 now. There's been quite a bit of money for that horse in the last 24 hours or so. Quiet Reflection 9-2, The Tin Man 6-1, and Magical Memory 15-2. So Lamarto then, if he turns up in blistering form as we know it can, unbeatable?
I wouldn't be keen to predict that his Carl Burke's horse is going to turn around the form with him. You know, and if I won't even say if the same horse from Newmarket turns up, because he won with so much in hand for such a good race and ultra competitive race. I think is going to be difficult to beat, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. Any the bigger price that maybe interest you at all? I don't know how much you've been able to study the field or not.
I mean, the Tin Man, James Fanshawe, has always held this horse in high regard. I think he's had one blip so far this year, but you know, on the main, his form has been so rock solid, and he's getting to now be quite a reliable yardstick, so it wouldn't be a horse that I would put listeners off at all.
Okay, let's have a look at some of Friday's racing then, because we've got some decent races on the card, actually. Meetings from Ascot and Haydock are where we're going to look. A couple from Haydock, but first we're going to start with Ascot, and we're going to start with the 3:45. This is a Class 3 handicap for horses rated between 0 and 95. There are 8 runners in this race, and it's over the 1 mile and 4 furlongs. Any that interest you here?
The one I did like here was William Hunter, Jack. Comes from the Alan King yard. I mean, this is a reasonably competitive race. But won at Brighton last time. Didn't look to have win with that much in hand. It's going up in class here, but it's only a 4-year-old. Albeit needs to pull a little bit more out here, but I don't think it's impossible. And I've been impressed with the way Alan King has campaigned his flat horses this year. You know, it seems to have a much bigger string now and seems to concentrate on it quite a bit sort of through the year. I mean, I know he had that good horse that won the Cambridgeshire for him last year. You know, so he knows well how to train a flat horse and also train a good one. So, yeah, William Hunter there for me. I mean, he's drawn eight, it's deep enough, but like I say, it's going to need a career best here. But for a four-year-old, still seems to be on the improve. And that would be my selection there, Jack.
Is there a draw bias at Ascot that you would if you were given a particular stall that you would prefer your selection to be in, which one would you go for?
Well, I mean, obviously over the mile and a half at Ascot, you know, drawing 8 of 8, he's going to have a bit of ground to cover to go and get a position. It depends how they want to ride him, but ideally, you want to cover as little ground as possible. So yeah, but then again, like I say, there's only 8 runners, so he's not majorly inconvenienced. But a horse that's stepping up in class and in grade, it's not a help.
No, William Hunter then, the selection in the 3:45 from Ascot. We move on to the race, which is 35 minutes later. It's a handicap. It's a class 2. It's for slightly better horses, up to 105. 12 here, quite a big field. Maybe there's a couple we could look at in this.
There is certainly. I mean, I'm a big Sir Roderick fan. You know, he's not been out of the money his last 6 starts, and you know, he's a stable star for Rod Millman, and so he should be, because he's an absolute credit to connections. Freddie Talicki knows him like the back of his hand. Really continues to pay his way. He's a distance winner. The one I was going to take a chance on here, and it is a chance because the stable are having a quiet time, was the Sidebin Soror, very talented. Look, I mean, he looked a very good 2-year-old, but it's not been, the fact hasn't been hidden that the yard's been really struggling with a so-called virus. But, I mean, there's an awful lot of yards in Newmarket. So, you know, I thought we'd have more people singing off the same hymn sheet if that was the case. But look, I don't know, so I can't really comment. But anyway, that was my selection. Very talented. We've not seen him for 141 days. I mean, it was an average run, but I'm just... I think on last year's 2-year-old form, he looked, you know, probably listed if not sort of Group 3 class. So I'm just hoping that he's one of the ones who maybe hasn't been as affected as some of the other stable members. And he's drawn quite nicely here in 2. He's on a very, very workable mark. And I think if he's fit and straight and well, and most importantly in good health, he would be my selection. But it's I'm taking a risk, but I'm just sort of sticking with him simply on his 2-year-old form. I was very, very taken with him.
Yeah, one of the youngest in the field as well. Mm-hmm. You've got the likes of Alfred Hutchinson, who's 8 now,
yeah,
and Marquette, who's 9, but very talented, just 3 years old, so certainly plenty to look ahead to, as you say, hopefully. Has not suffered the same fate as some of the other horses in the yard.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big ask, or a big risk, having to take his health as well-being. But look, I'm sure if it's not like he's one of the stable's lesser ones, I'm sure this is a very talented horse, and if they weren't happy with him, he wouldn't be showing up tomorrow. So fingers crossed for a good show.
Yeah, importantly, still entered into the race. That's the 4:20 at Ascot. We move over to Haydock, to the northwest, for 2 races here. We're going to look at the 5 o'clock shortly, but first it's the 4:30. It's a Class 3 race. It's over the mile and 3. And this is for horses rated 0 to 95. And there's 10 runners here. So once again, a nice sort of decent field to try and find some each way value.
Yeah, and this is quite a warm race, to be honest, Jack. Well, I think we'll see plenty of winners come out of this race. But the one I was going to go for was the horse who's really, really thriving this year, Muz Dawaj, the Hamdam Almack 2-mode horse, Paul Hannigan ridden and William Haggis trained. He's 3 from 4 this year, and certainly looks a very, very promising type. Cheap pieces were on last time, and it certainly didn't hinder him at all in any way. And we've seen already so far today, Haydock, that the Haggis team continue in fantastic form. He's up to a mark of 90, but he's certainly on a real, real roll. And I think he will continue to thrive and pay his way tomorrow in the 4:30 Muz Dawaj.
Yeah, you said there about William Haggis, already had a winner on Thursday's card at the time of recording. But Paul Hannigan as well, he's fired in a winner on Thursday as well. So both jockey and trainer in form. Is there another one that perhaps we could look at a slightly bigger price?
Yeah, I mean, the Luca Comani horse, for a Luca horse to win on his debut, this three-year-old has got to be above average because he doesn't wind his horses up early doors. He lets them progress with the race. And so for this chap to win on his debut, he's got to have a fair bit of ability. And he's nicely drawn as well. He boxed in one. So he would be one of the ones to keep an eye on for going forward. He certainly looks a horse with bags of scope.
Okay, two selections to look out for there in the 4:30 from Haydock. The final race we're going to look at is half an hour later. It's the 5 o'clock at the same venue. It's a Class 3 handicap once again. Shorter distance this time. 12 runners go over the 7 furlongs.
Yeah, for me, I couldn't get away from the horse at the top, the 4-year-old. Obviously, although he's got to carry top weight, this horse certainly is thriving this year. Same connections again as in Paul Hannigan and Hamdam Al-Maktoum, but this one trained by Charles Hills, who's also having a very, very decent time for this summer. But this chap is going for his fourth straight win. He's already pulled off the hat-trick bid, but hasn't been out of money at all this year. And off a mark of 88 from a £6 rise the last day, This Dubawi colt certainly looks to be going in the right direction, and this race looks winnable for me, Jack.
Okay, and any of us that perhaps with a lower weight that could spring a surprise?
Yeah, we've got a 3-year-old in there, Royal Shaheen, for the Alice Willans Yard, the Richie King's colt on board. I think that one could bounce back and run a little bit better this time, but mainly they're sort of older, more exposed horses, but like I say, battle hardened also. But for me, going forward, the horse at the top has got bags of room for even more improvement, and off a mark of 88, certainly isn't done winning yet and can defy top weight here.
Definitely one to watch and keep our eye on then.
Yeah.
Running in the 5 o'clock at Haydock. Paddy, thank you very much for your thoughts on the racing on Friday, and good luck with all of your bets.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.